Missouri Director of Agriculture Chris Chin. We're talking about an initiative that that is brand new to the department. However, if we look at this, we've been looking at these four pillars over the last year, but tell me what's new.
So what's new is we've laid out 16 initiatives that are going to guide us over the next 12 months. This is something that is happening all across your state government. So if you go to strategicchange.mo.gov, you can see all 16 departments listed there, and you can click on each one, and you're going to see the same format on every website so that you can know what your departments are doing to work for you, the taxpayers.
There are frequent mentions in these points of employees. Why is that?
Well, you know, our employees are our boots on the ground. They are our front line. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. So it was really important for us to listen to our employees, to hear from them what we can do to make their job easier to serve farmers, ranchers, and consumers in the state of Missouri.
What's the overall goal of these 16 initiatives?
Well, you know, they fit into our four pillars of feed more, reach more, connect more, and empower more. So this is what's going to guide us over the next few months. We're going to make sure that everything we do here at the department fits into one of these initiatives. We're going to continue to do the work that we've always done here at the department, but we're also going to make sure that we're doing these 16 initiatives as well, because these are going to be citizen-facing. We want people to realize that we do put the citizens first, that it is the people's money, and that it's our Missouri.
One of these initiatives mentions broadband. Now, how is this going to be coordinated with, say, federal initiatives that are meant to bolster broadband? And what do you hope to accomplish through your mention of broadband?
So we've been working closely with the Department of Economic Development. You know, Governor Greitens has stated we will have an office of broadband that's going to be housed in the Department of Economic Development. And this office is going to be the central landing place for local communities, for state government, and for the federal government to come together, and we can share what opportunities are out there. What's worked in one community, we can have the example. One of the things we really need in the state of Missouri is mapping, so we know where the dark fiber is. That's high-speed broadband internet fiber that's laying throughout the state of Missouri that may not be utilized right now. We know there's a lot of it out there, but people don't know where it is. So we don't want to overlay broadband in places where it's already at. So we need to make sure we can get this office together so we can get that mapping system in place to help these communities be able to know what they need moving forward, so they can know, how do I access those federal grant dollars? Are there state grant dollars that are available? What about USDA rural development dollars? That's what our office is going to do. We're going to be that central landing place to hopefully advise people where they can go for the information they need.
You have mentioned there are more than a million people who are without broadband service in the state of Missouri. So what do you hope to accomplish? How do you hope to decrease that number?
Well, you know, there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all plan. It's going to be all of the above. So some of them are going to be the large telecommunication companies are going to be an answer to these challenges. But in other areas, it's going to be your small rural electric co-ops or your rural telephone cooperatives as well that are going to meet those needs. So that's what we're hoping, is that we can bring all the players to the table, have that place where communities can go to find the best plan that's going to work for them. You know, there's no sense in recreating the wheel. If we have a plan that's out there that will work in one community, it might work in another community.
When should the public expect to see some results from these 16 points?
Well, you know, we've been working on them already, but we're going to continue to work on them. You know, we've got to continue to do the jobs that we've been doing to serve our constituency, to make sure we're protecting agriculture and promoting agriculture in the state. But these are going to be things that fit very well into our budget. There's not going to be new dollars that are going to be allocated. This is all going to fit within our budget. Later this summer, we're going to have our measures up on our website, we hope, and they're going to be able to see which employee at the Department of Agriculture owns that measure, who's responsible to making sure we achieve success on this initiative, and we're going to show the progress. We're going to show whether we're halfway to our goal, or if we're a quarter of the way to our goal, or three quarters of the way to the goal, so that we can be accountable to the taxpayers and to the people who are making sure we're protecting and promoting agriculture.
You have mentioned other government divisions, other government agencies that you're going to be working with. Is that something new? Tell me about that.
You know, we're really excited. We have a lot of partnerships with other agencies here in the state of Missouri. We're working closely with Department of Natural Resources, Department of Transportation, Economic Development, Department of Corrections, Higher Education. We truly are one team with one mission in state government. So we're looking on where do we have overlap? Where can our teams work together to better serve the citizens of Missouri? One great example of that is workforce development. There's a big need out here for skilled labor. It's one of the areas that we've heard loud and clear from farmers and ranchers and agribusiness owners that they need a skilled workforce. This is something that Department of Economic Development is working on, as well as higher education. So it only makes sense for us all to join together to be a part of a task force to look at what the needs are, make that assessment, and work together to achieve that goal to help the citizens and the businesses in Missouri.
One of those you mentioned was the Department of Corrections. How do you plan to work with them?
Well, you know, they have offenders who are going to be returning to their communities, and so they need to have a skill that they can use when they get out so that they don't fall back into their old patterns. So we've been working with Department of Corrections as well as University Extension to see what skills are needed in those communities and what the workforce need is. It may not be the answer to every problem, but if we can give these offenders the opportunity to be successful when they return to their community, it's going to prevent them to falling back into that old habit that landed them in that facility to begin with.
This all takes money, and the department has been facing cuts as it is. Couple of questions. Where is the money going to come from to address these 16 points, and what's the progress on restoring cuts that were proposed earlier?
So the neat opportunity about this is that all of our initiatives fit into what we're doing already here at the Department of Agriculture. It just kind of streamlines the process. It fits well into our budget. It's going to make sure that we are being responsible stewards of taxpayer dollars. So we're going to make sure that every initiative we have fits into our budget to make sure that we're staying within the area we need to be. As far as previous cuts that we had, right now it looks like we're going to be restored, you know, some of the cuts that had been proposed. So we're optimistic about that. You know, the legislature has a lot of tough decisions to make, and so we have been in communication with them, explaining to them the impact that the proposed cuts might have on the Department of Agriculture. And thankfully, they've been very receptive to having those communications with us and helping us work together to achieve our goals.
Specifically, you talked about cutting many regulations. I'm not sure what the number was.
1,201.
So you've cut that many regulations. How does that fit in with the goal that you had of cutting red tape to start with?
So we have 1,201 proposed regulations that will be either reduced or eliminated or changed. And so this is all about making sure that government gets out of the way of farmers and ranchers. The one thing they just want to do is they just want to farm. They want to take care of their livestock. They want to take care of their land, and they don't want government to get in their way. And so that's what we've done. We looked at every rule and regulation and restriction that we had on the book, and we asked some tough questions. Is it redundant? Is it necessary? Is it even applicable in today's modern society and world? And so we have them all up on the website. They're in the process of, we're getting other department input. Is it going to impact Department of Natural Resources? Is this proposed cut going to impact Department of Transportation? So we're allowing all of the other agencies to have input on it. Once we get them back, we're sending them over to the Secretary of State's office. And for the first time ever, people are going to have the opportunity to comment on our website to let us know, hey, is this important to you? Do you agree with this? Or have we missed the mark? And if so, let us know. We want to hear from taxpayers. If it's not something they want us to change, we need to hear from them.
What kind of a percentage cut is this?
So it's a 25% cut. We had a goal of 33%, and we fell a little bit short. But the one thing we heard loud and clear is we don't want to revert authority back to the federal partners of EPA, FDA, or USDA.
Does that mean then that the cuts and regulations are done? Are there more ahead?
You know, they're proposed right now, so we haven't made the actual cut yet. They're up for public comment at this point in time. Once we go through the public comment period, if everyone's in agreement, that's when it will take place. So we would never make a cut to eliminate a regulation without having public input first.
But that goal of 33%, you say you're at 25%. Are you stopping here?
Yeah, we're good, because we couldn't find any more rules or regulations that we were going to be able to eliminate without reverting authority back to the federal partners. We wanted to be listening to our stakeholders. We wanted to be receptive to their concerns. And so we fell short of our 33%, but we're very proud of the 25% that we've identified. Our employees put a lot of hard work into this. They spent a lot of hours working on this, looking at what the alternatives would be, what the consequences would be as well, what the impact was going to be to the taxpayer. And so they put in a lot of hours. I'm very proud of my employees because they fought till the very end to make sure that they were doing the right thing for the right reason for the people we serve. You know, part of our reach more is making sure that we can connect consumers to the people who are growing their food and make sure we build that trust, make sure that consumers are comfortable with the people who are producing their food. And a part of that was recently we held a chef's tour in the St. Louis area, and we brought chefs out to farms and ranches so they could learn how their food was produced and to see the passionate farmers and ranchers who are working hard on a daily basis to keep a safe food supply in the state of Missouri. You know, it was eye-opening for me to hear one of the chefs talk about how they'd never been outside of the city limits of St. Louis because everything they needed was right there inside St. Louis. So when they got out into the open countryside and got to meet these farmers and see what a working farm looked like, they were amazed. They were so excited about having that opportunity to connect to the people who are growing their food. And so to see that was just neat. You know, it re-energized me to continue and reach more and tell that story of agriculture. It was also neat to see our farmers and ranchers in the state of Missouri get to showcase their hard work and to see the passion that they have for what they're doing on a daily basis. Every farmer out there talked about wanting to pass that farm on to the next generation. And I heard many of the chefs say, I never thought about that. So just getting to be a part of that, to seeing that, to be able to help facilitate that communication was so important because these chefs are our food influencers. They're the ones that choose what goes on a menu and the words that are used to describe that product. And so at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure that they knew that all food was safe in the state of Missouri and that we support all types of farming and ranching and that, you know, they can trust the people who are producing their food.
One of the points addresses food insecurity in Missouri. Touch on that for me and how that'll be addressed.
You know, one of the things we heard when we went through our Reach More tour were people talking about the food insecurity, you know, especially from teachers. A lot of teachers are married to farmers and ranchers, and so they shared with us some of the challenges they go through on a daily basis, watching some of their students go home, not having food, not having enough food on the table. So that's one of the things we want to address. We want people to understand why it's so important to have food choice. We want people to be able to afford the food for their family table. And so that's why we need all different types of agriculture in the state of Missouri. You know, we're going to be partnering with Missouri Farmers Care again to do the Drive to Feed Kids and the FFA to raise awareness about food insecurity and to help pack meals. Last year, the FFA kids packed 52,000 meals to go on the Buddy Pack program. They did it in less than an hour. This year, these kids have a goal of over 100,000 meals that they want to pack, and I know they're going to achieve that goal. You know, it's exciting to see this next generation pay it forward to help people in their own rural communities to address one of the biggest challenges that are in our rural communities.